Good morning. Jesus is here. When the body of Christ gathers to lift his name on high, he is here. I invite you to close your eyes and picture the King of Kings sitting on the throne, where the angels cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who was and is to come." Friends, this is our King. This is our Father. This is our friend. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, which word and art and evermore shall be. This is King Jesus. This is who we serve. This is why we are gathered today. Who is this Holy One? Who is this one that is high and exalted? Whom is the one that all creation adores? Who is the one that makes the mountains tremble and the seas roar? It is King Jesus, the Son of Man, who is also the Son of God. King Jesus, the Word who became flesh and made his home among us. King Jesus, the Savior who made a way where there was no way, which is why we are here today. King Jesus, the good news, which will always be good news forever. Until we go home or until he comes back. So what are you doing with this good news? Join me as we read Matthew 13, 1 through 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, but since they had no depth of soil, when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." King Jesus, the sovereign who gave up the crown of heaven, he had everything. I wish I had a real golden crown. But can you picture this for a moment? He was seated with the Father and the Spirit from the beginning of time, enjoying each other up in eternity. And all of a sudden, there was a choice because we royally screwed up. So there was a choice. Shall I go? Should I give this up? And he did. He chose to give up his crown of glory, his home in heaven, to be pierced, to be whipped, to be spat on, to be abused. He traded everything for you and for me. Max Lucado says in his book, He Chose the Nails, which is what this sermon series is talking about. Throughout scripture, thorns symbolize not sin, but the consequences of sin. So now think of this. Jesus was crowned with a crown of thorns. He was literally crowned with the consequence of our sin. What drove him to the cross was you and me. After Adam and Eve sinned, God cursed the ground. We're going to talk about the consequences of sin being like these thorns. It says in Genesis 13, 17, and 18, the ground will produce thorns and weeds for you. This was the consequence of the first sin in the Garden of Eden. And they were exiled, and now they had to work, and the ground would have become rough for them. In Numbers 33, 55, God told Moses that he had to purge the land of all the godless people. And if they didn't, all of these godless people would eventually be like sharp hooks in their eyes and thorns in their side. Proverbs 22, 5 says that evil people's lives are like paths covered with thorns and traps. And in Matthew 7, 16, Jesus compared the fruit of people who do evil like a thorn bush. You will know these people by what they do. Grapes don't come from thorn bushes, and figs don't come from thorny weeds. Lucado continues, if the fruit of sin is thorns, then isn't the thorny crown on Christ's brow a picture of the fruit of our sin that didn't just pierce his head, but pierced his heart? Jesus never knew the fruit of sin until he became sin for us. Now, we talk about this all the time. I have known the gospel story since I was teeny tiny. And I could tell you, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I could tell you that Jesus died on the cross and that he rose again on the third day. I could tell you everything. But it wasn't until recently that it started to dawn on me the actual events that happened to him that led him to the cross and what it looked like as he was on the cross. And then it dawned on me, and again, this happened recently, that he did it because he loved me. And I know this is super trivial. This is going back to Sunday school. Yes, Jesus came because he loves us. But do you actually know the love of God? Have you experienced the love of God? Have you experienced this man who became sin to be crowned with our sin, to die a sinner's death, to set us free? And we feel the weight of Jesus bearing all of the sin of the world as he cries out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? The book says that these aren't the words of a saint. These are the cries of a sinner. Last week, Kimberly introduced us to the overarching theme, He Chose the Nails, and he did this for us. And this week, we're going to look at Jesus, our Messiah, our King, and how he chose the crown of thorns for us. And why did he do this? Why would he trade this for this? Why would he choose this for this? Because he couldn't dream of an eternity away from us. This is relentless love. This is outrageous love. This is the fury of the love of the Son of Man wrestling internally with the Son of God. Kimberly said that to me last week, and I have not been able to shake that phrase and that image out of my mind. Jesus is the Son of God, and when the Word became flesh, he became the Son of Man, and as he was wrestling in the Garden of Gethsemane, getting ready because he knew exactly what was to come, that hypostatic union, fully God and fully man, was wrestling right there to the point where he was sweating drops of blood. And he finally said, "Not my will, but yours." He became sin who knew no sin that we might become the righteousness of God. The crown of thorns that should be piercing our heads was crowned upon him. He left this and chose this so that we could receive this. And as we accept the gift of his love and as we accept the gift of his salvation, he crowns us and he says, "You are now chosen, you are forsaken, you are redeemed, you now belong to the family. You have a purpose and you have an identity, and there is nothing and there is no one that can take that away from you. You are mine." So we hear this story, and many of you are probably going, "I know this story. Calm down, Audrey. We know the story." But do we? Do we actually? He didn't go through what he did so we could sit here with our arms crossed and just come to church Sunday after Sunday, living the same old lives, doing the same old thing. And what? What for? What for? It's a posture of the heart. The one who deserved to have his arms crossed in disapproval and disgust at our behavior actually chose to stretch them out and to welcome us home. What is the posture of your heart as you hear the good news? In the book, Max Lucado also says that as Jesus was getting ready to get his hands nailed to the cross, as he looked out, getting ready for that soldier to come in and to nail it down, he looked at his hand and he didn't just see his human hand. He actually saw the hand of God. Remember, he was human and he was God. When he looked at his hand, he could have chosen at any moment in time to say, "I'm done. I am not going to do this. I want to go home." And it would have happened because he is God. But when he saw his hand getting ready to be nailed down, he chose to stay on that cross because he saw the hand of God that so fearfully and wonderfully made creation and the world. He saw you, and he chose to stay. He chose it because Jesus loves you. In our Thursday lunchtime, where we're talking about the book, which everyone should totally check out. So this Thursday at noon, come bring your bagged lunch and join us for some amazing, amazing discussion. But we talked about love. And in Greek, there are three well-known words for it, possibly four. And it's eros, which is passionate love. And it's philios, which is brotherly love. And agape, which is unconditional love. Are you familiar with these words? For love, Paul took agape and pinned it down to describe the kind of love that God has for us. And someone in our small group told us, and it totally blew my mind, that the word agape spelled out in Greek begins with the Greek symbol alpha and ends with the Greek symbol omega, which is the first letter of the alphabet and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. The word attributed to the love of God, which is unconditional, which surpasses all understanding, which we could not possibly understand in this lifetime, literally goes from beginning to end. This is the love of God. And again, I apologize. Sorry, not sorry. But as long as you hear me speak, you are going to hear me talk about how much Jesus loves you and everything that he did so that we could be free and so that we could step into our identity and so that we can come back to a childlike awe and wonder and look at the cross and look at the crown of thorns and behold his beauty and say, wow, you are holy forever. What he did paved a way for us to come and to behold him forever. So the question remains, now what? The story has been told. This is the gospel. This is the good news. This is the seed. The sower sows the seed. We are the ground. But let's do a little self-check. What ground are we? Right here, right now. We have the path. This is the one who hears the word but doesn't really understand it. So the enemy comes and just snatches up whatever has been sown in the heart. You hear the word, but you're wrestling and it really doesn't just make sense. So any little thing comes and whoop, it's taken away. Maybe that's where you're at. Then there's the ones who are the rocky ground. These are the ones who hear the word and immediately they receive it with joy and they gladly accept it and it starts to take root and it starts to kind of grow. But the truth is because it is rocky soil, there's not much room to go deep. So the roots can't really go down. So there's a little bit of growth and you endure for a little bit, but when hard times come, bam, you're blown away because there's no roots, there's no grounding. Maybe we're in the thorns. This is the one who hears the word but is so consumed by the things of this world. We're consumed by the riches. We're consumed by the things this world has to offer. We're consumed by climbing up the ladder of success, and we're consumed by making a name for ourselves, and we're consumed, you fill in the blank. And eventually it just chokes out the faith and the life in you. And then there's the one that the Lord is calling us to be, good soil. The one who hears the word and understands it and bears fruit. As we heard, you could bear fruit 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. The point is we were created to bear fruit. And everyone's going to look a little bit different because the Spirit gives gifts differently according to how he pleases. But we're supposed to bear fruit. And the kind of fruit that you bear has everything to do with where you're grounded. So what kind of fruit are you bringing forth? Are you bearing fruit because you're grounded in fear, in anxiety, in resentment, guilt, shame, lust, lies, division? What is your grounding? And what fruit are you bearing? The Word of God says there's only two options here. We can bear fruit according to the flesh, or we can bear fruit according to the Spirit. According to the flesh, this is what Galatians tells us. The fruit of the flesh is sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, division, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and all of these things. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So what are you? Where are you? The truth is, we were talking about this also in our Thursday group. We can maybe kind of see these different patches of ground as the human condition and as the human journey, and we are all on a journey. And the thing about Jesus is he is so eager to meet you where you're at. And he can transform that path into good soil, and he can transform the thorns into good soil, and he can transform the rocks into good soil. What he wants you to be is alive in him. So where are you right now? Be honest with the Lord. And are you willing to allow him to work in you so that he can transform you into the person that he has created you and designed you to be? Are you easily snatchable? Are you so shallow and superficial that any sign of a storm comes and just blows you away? Are you so consumed by the things of this world that your faith is just easily choked out? Are you good soil? Not perfect. Never, ever, ever will we be perfect. But are you truly just trying to live a life surrendered and living in lockstep with Christ and letting him work in you, refining you day by day? This is sanctification. This is allowing Jesus to do the work. And eventually, because he left this to wear this so that we could be crowned with this, we can walk around in confidence. And the fruit of those who are sons and daughters of Christ is to be the salt and light of the world. To tell the story of Jesus. And to wear the crown with pride. And not the kind of pride where we tear other people down. Not the kind of pride that wants to prove others that they're wrong and we're right. Not the kind of pride that divides and destroys, but the pride that brings people into belonging, into the family. And then we allow Christ to do the work in transforming the hearts. The Son of God chose to give up his crown to become the Son of Man for you and for me. So friends, the seed is being thrown today. It's being thrown here. It's being thrown all over the world. What kind of ground are you right now? And what is God calling you to let go of so that we can be the soil, the good soil that he is calling us to be, to remain and abide in him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you because you are good. We thank you because your word is beautiful. We thank you because your word leads us to your heart, and it also confronts us and convicts us. So Father, we pray this morning that you help us to examine our hearts and to see those areas where we're still holding on to things of our desires and our flesh, when you're calling us to be more like you. Jesus, help us to let go. Help us to see you for who you are and awaken the awe and the wonder. Forgive us for when we hear this story and we're just like, oh, I know the story, I'm fine. Awaken for us a hunger and a thirst to see you and to never grow tired of beholding your beauty and to never grow tired of sharing this good news. Jesus, we want to be good soil. So help us, because we can't do it without you. We need you, King Jesus. And we thank you because you are good. We thank you because you are faithful to complete what you started. And it is in your most beautiful and precious and holy name that we pray. Amen.